Praise the Lord. What a wonderful word of simple encouragement, because it is it's a crazy time, to say the least. We live in a world where we know what the Lord told us. It's going to get darker. The devil's been loose. He's going to be taking over the minds of most people in the world, but God has his people and God has his army. And we know how it turns out. We know at just the right time the Lord's going to step in and put an end to all of it. Thank God. In the meantime, he's going to be with us regardless of the circumstances that unfold. So that's a wonderful, wonderful word of encouragement. I appreciate it. Well, the Lord seems to know how to work in me. Isn't that amazing? He knows how to do that. And to remind me how weak I am, and to bring me to a place where that's all I can do is say, thank you for my weakness, Lord. But Lord, I just pray that the Lord's strength will come through in spite of it. And so many times it seems like I have thoughts that just cover a wide gamut of truth. And many times it involves things that we've heard. But there's a thought that I want to get to this morning that will certainly involve the many things that we've heard. But it's kind of revolutionary in a way. And I believe it's something the Lord wants us to understand as his children, as to what he's given us. Because we certainly know from the Word, doctrinally speaking, we know that Jesus declared on the cross, it was finished. Okay? We know that there was something eternal that was accomplished and finished, and it pertains to us. But how in the world does that at the cross get into us and start affecting our daily lives the way the Lord wants it to? There's a disconnect there. And I believe the Lord wants to teach us more and more how to, as we said last week, to lay hold of that. Paul says, I lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. So there's a connection with some of the things I said last week, but it goes beyond that. And I'll start with a simple truth that we know. How does God do things? When God wants to do something, how does he do it? He speaks. So his word is very central to everything. But here's another thing. We know that back before the creation, the Father and his Son were there, okay? And we know that the Father obviously had a purpose in mind to create this creation and to ultimately bring forth a family. We won't go into all the details, but he had a purpose in mind. And so he set out to accomplish that. But how did he do that? Who was the one who spoke? See, it was the Son. He used his Son. He inspired his Son to operate in perfect harmony with his plan, and his Son spoke the words. Now imagine Jesus standing there. It wasn't Jesus yet, but imagine the Son standing there and saying, Father, that's a great plan. Okay, where is it? And he says, my plan is to use you, is to involve you in speaking my words. And when my inspiration joins with your willingness to speak, things are going to happen. All right? So you see that pattern begin to form in the Son of God. And I'll tell you, when God speaks, it happens. You know, there's a scripture that we've often referred to in Isaiah 55. It's a wonderful prophecy of what the Lord's going to do, encouraging people to, like, seek the Lord while he may be found and so forth. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But then in verse 8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Anybody agree with that? We tend to think our own ways and they're very earthly. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that sits in a book. Wait a minute. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Praise God. We do have a record of the things that God has said, but I'll tell you, there was a speaking forth that happened through the lips of prophets, through the lips of apostles, through Jesus' lips. There are things that God inspired to be said. So in a sense, a very real sense, it was the word of God, but it came through someone else's lips. And all that he has promised, all that he has set in motion by that will happen. Sometimes things happen right now. As we often pointed out, he said, let there be light, and there was light. That was right now. But many things that God has said will unfold over time. They are unfolding over time. And that's what God has called us to. How many of you believe, again, in what happened at the cross? But how many of you believe that what was there not only contains everything that you need, but it's what you're looking to actively and trusting in and walking in, and is, you're benefiting from it every single day? Now, we got some work to do, don't we? There's a bit, like I say, of a disconnect. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to make that connection in wonderful ways. There are some scriptures that came back to me, and I just want to kind of, let's see if I can find the one I had in mind. Yeah, there's a passage, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but a wonderful prophecy in Isaiah 51. You know, so much of the prophets, of course, were looking forward to what was happening with the coming of Christ and the establishing of the kingdom, but they were really spoken to the remnant, weren't they? We know that it's a truth we've been said, that's been said many times, that most of Israel were going their own way, but God had always preserved a remnant. And he brought them through and preserved them. And when Christ came, they were the ones to whom he was sent. I am not sent to anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he looked at the religious leaders and said, you're not my sheep. But there were people in Israel that were his sheep. And I'll tell you, he called and he gathered his people through the lips of Peter and others after the resurrection. And I'll tell you, the word from that formation at the beginning, the gathering of his elect, the word has gone to the ends of the earth. Thank God. So these words were looking to that and looking forward to all that was coming. I'll tell you, he encourages them in verse 6. I'll just read a couple of bits of this before I get to where I'm going. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. There's your hope for the world, folks. Go ahead and preserve the planet all you want to. This is this destiny. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have taken my instruction to heart. See who he's talking to there, okay? Do not fear the reproach of mere mortals or be terrified by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, the worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation throughout all generations, okay? And he goes on with many other words of instruction and encouragement. But he talks about how the prisoners are going to be set free and so forth. Verse 15 is the reason why there is a hope. It says, for I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. Now listen to what he says here that's kind of unusual. I have put my words in your mouth. The Lord is talking to his people. It's one thing to say, I'm saying all this, these words are going to accomplish it. I have put my words in your mouth. There's a truth locked up in that I want to understand a little better, don't you? I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. Praise God. There's one other scripture that says roughly the same thing in 59, the end of chapter 59. And there's a promise in the face of all that was going on in that day. Verse 20 says, the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those in Jacob. Now he specifies. Zion is not just a place, it involves everybody. He will come to Zion to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Now think about what he's saying there, the principle involved. When God wanted to create everything, he did it through his Son. But he has called everyone that he's called into his kingdom to be sons and daughters of the living God. And part of the covenant that he has with his people is to put his words in our mouths. It's wonderful when we have them in our minds and in our hearts even. But I'll tell you, we need to get beyond that, because there is spiritual power that I need. Okay? Now, there's so many directions you can go, but let's go to the three areas where I want to show, if I can, just to illustrate what he's talking about, how this affects us. Because one of them definitely affects what we were talking about last week, that God is going to be showing us needs in our hearts. He wants us to be honest, to go to him, to get the strength and the help that we need. Okay? So far, so good. But here's something that we need to look at. Again, we've seen it so often. In Revelation chapter 12, when you have pictured the great victory that was won at the cross, where God declared the victory and says, now, in verse 10, have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. There's been a victory that's been won that God wants us to lay hold of and enter into more than we do. And I'm starting with me. God has to work all of this in me. When I stand up here, I'm not just talking to you like I'm way up here somewhere. I'm in the middle of the same battle with you, okay? But then the scripture that we have referred to so many times, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, the blood of the Lamb takes care of the guilt of my sins. It erases it forever. I have the right to stand before a holy God as one who has been declared righteous, and no devil in hell can say otherwise. If I have truly surrendered, truly repented, truly put my faith in what he did, that blood stands forever between me and my guilt, and no devil can properly accuse me. I have every right to point to that and to stand in that. Thank God. Okay? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Ah, do you kind of see a little connection going on here? God wants to put his words in my mouth in a way that it's more than just religion I've sort of memorized or given mental assent to, or words in a book. Thank God for the words in the book, but they got to get beyond the book. They got to get not only in my heart and my mind, they got to start coming out of my mouth. And not only out of my mouth, just like I'm reciting something and saying words, they've got to come out with power. Now you think about the temptation of Jesus when the devil was allowed to tempt him in the wilderness, and he was brought to a weak place. And so the devil would tempt him with something, you know, turn these stones into bread, you know, you're hungry kind of thing. And he was, what was his answer? In every case, He declared something that God had said. But how many of you think that was just a proof text? Like it was a battle of ideas. You got your idea, I got mine. I'll tell you, we've talked about this before. This was power on power. How many of you know that wherever words originate, they convey the strength of the life that utters those words? If I am standing here and I'm just saying words that I've thought up, that ain't going to help you. Because all I'm conveying is my human spirit, and that's not going to help you at a bit. But and of course, if words come from Satan, are they not transmitting his spirit through those words? There's power coming. And many times, I wonder how many times we are facing satanic power that wants to work on our minds, and we're trying to fight it in the flesh. We're fighting it with human ability, and that doesn't work. I don't have what it takes to face Satan. That's why I need a Savior. Okay? So that's what this is about. So here's Jesus declaring something. How many of you think that this was just Jesus the man saying words? There was a power, there was a union between him and the Father. He agreed with his Father's purpose. He was there in his Father's will. He was wanting to be completely in harmony with his Father. I'll tell you, God put the words in his mind that he needed to be saying, and he spoke them as a matter of conviction. And when he did, it wasn't just the human Jesus that uttered those words. It was God's Spirit that was uttering words through human lips. Satan had no answer for that. Praise God. Anybody here need that a little bit? I need to be able to learn how to walk in. You talk about, you know, what we just heard about walking and just walking on and trusting God and keeping in harmony with him. That's exactly what we need. But I believe that God wants to bring us into a closer fellowship. So when Satan comes and utters his lies, whatever the form, we've got something we can answer, but it needs to be a divinely given conviction of the heart. Okay? Let's go to another scripture we've used so often in Ephesians 6. You talk about the warfare and the weapons that we need. Ephesians, okay, before Philippians, isn't it? There you go. All right, so we have the devil's schemes and all the ways he attacks us. And he's got all of these pieces of armor, but the one that we need to focus on, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of what? Of the Spirit. This is not just something where I've got a better idea, I've got a different idea than you, and I'm going to resist you because I believe this other idea. There has got to be power. There is something that we have to be able to take in our spiritual hands, if you will, and speak. And it's the word of God, and it's a force that Satan feels. There's a weapon that we need to have. I'll tell you, every one of us needs to be seeking God so that he will become more real, and what we claim to believe, what we maybe do believe, can become so real that it becomes a conviction of the heart, that we don't cower in fear from the devil, because we know that we have weapons that he can't stand against. We're not alone in this battle. God has put words in our mouths that are real. I have put my word in your mouth. That's the answer that I need in this hour. I need to have spiritual power that comes out of my mouth. That's the heritage of God's children. Did he mean that in those prophecies? I have put my words in your mouth. And I'll tell you, when the devil comes and he starts attacking you, who are you to call yourself a Christian? And he starts attacking your identity in Christ. What does God say about it? When we truly yield ourselves, I'm not talking about somebody who is basically self-willed and trying to look for a way out of the difficulties of life and trying to use God in some fashion. I'm talking about somebody that really is reaching out to God and trusting in him. I'll tell you, there's going to be a God who rises to that occasion and reminds us who we truly are in Christ. I am a new creature. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can I not make that a testimony? Instead of just a theological truth, I can say, I have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'll tell you, if we can utter that from our hearts as a conviction that God has put there, there's power that God wants to release that will give us more power. I'm not trying to say there's some magical experience you can have when suddenly this is everything all goes away. This is a process of learning His ways, learning how to be in harmony with Him. Jesus was in perfect harmony with the Father. Okay? That's what He is seeking to do in me and in you. So if my identity is attacked, I have every right to declare who I am in Christ Jesus. It certainly isn't me because of me. It's entirely by God's grace and mercy that I have any right to stand there. And you know, you get to the point where sin has a hold because we have weaknesses. That's what we talked about last week. The reality is I've got an old nature that still wants to live in this body, and it's going to assert itself every time it can. And part of living the Christian life, very central to it, is learning how to subdue that and live for Him. Okay? I mean, we're told to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. That is, they belong to God. And I need help. I can't do that except by divine help. Well, that's what grace is, isn't it? Grace is not, as we said so many times, not just a kindly accepting attitude. It is divine power at work, saving unworthy sinners. There's an active thing that's going on. It's like electricity in a sense. There's power that's flowing. I need to be in tune with that. You know, it would be appropriate every time we quote something like this and we stand on it, and we make that claim, by your grace, I declare. And we declare what God has said, and we stand upon it, and we don't wait for the feeling. How many of you wait for the feeling? We all do at certain times. Might as well nod and say, yeah. But I'll tell you, God is training us, isn't He? We're part of the soldiers. We're some of the soldiers. I recognize as an angelic army as well. But we're being trained to be soldiers too, okay? So I guess where I was starting to go was you have Satan always trying to gain a hold in us. Now Jesus, remember, said, the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. I wish every one of us could say that. There are holes where Satan has gotten a hold, but what God wants to constantly do, instead of saying, straighten up and fly right, look to the cross. Look to the cross. Why? We're told plainly in Romans 6, because I died there. It's just not He died. I died in Him. He died as my representative. I have every right to stand on the facts of what happened. That really happened, and I need to have such a conviction in my heart that I can stand there and I can assert the truth. Now, it's wonderful that Paul says, sin, I guess I'm remembering most of the King James language, sin shall not have dominion over you. That's an awesome promise. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. But how about turning that into a testimony and saying by faith, because God has helped us to do it, and we're in such harmony with Him and His purpose, a willing to do His will, that we can stand there instead and say, sin shall not have dominion over me. Because I am not under law, but under grace. And for anybody who doesn't understand the reference to law and grace, law means God imposes commandments and my standing before Him depends upon my ability to keep them. Well, nobody can be righteous by that standard. Every one of us, if we have any help or hope at all, it's because God's power is actively at work. But oh man, I need the channels open. I need to believe him. I need to allow him to plant his words in my heart and in my life. And I'll tell you, whenever we face something where the enemy is attacking us personally, we have every right to go to God. How many of you ever heard the expression, pray the promises? That's a pretty good way to put it. I need to be going to God and reminding him of what he said. And the fact that I'm trusting in that, Lord, I don't deserve to come here. But you said, like Jehoshaphat went to the Lord and said, here's what you did for us, and you promised this, and you promised that, and look at what's happening. God kind of stepped up, didn't he? They didn't even have to fight that battle. Over and over, you see that pattern in Scripture where somebody will come, like the disciples, when the early church, when they threatened Peter and John, was it? And said, don't you preach any more of his name. And they went back, and boy, they talked about the Lord and all that he'd promised and how he was in charge. And they were looking to him, and oh, God, rise up. And boy, the Lord came down like thunder, didn't he? And there was a power that came upon that people. I'll tell you, God wants to release his power. I'm not talking about seeking an experience or a feeling. I'm talking about the simple ability to live for God every day. It isn't a matter of some state of constant exhilaration. A lot of times you're not going to feel it. But God wants us to have a conviction that goes beyond feelings, beyond any of this that we're talking about, so that we can actually have a strength. We can have words that are not just our words and our wishes. We're not just pointing here and saying, oh, it says that, therefore I need God to plant that word and speak it and breathe life into it so that it becomes mine and I can stand on it whether I feel like it or not. And I can declare this to the devil and it's God's word. God's spirit gets in it. He's the one uttering it through my lips. You see where God's going with all this? Did he mean it when he said, I have put my words in your mouth? This is a real example of it. You know, I thought about the sword of the Spirit. And I was thinking about it this way. You could hear about a sword, and that would be, you could say, well, I heard about that. You could actually have a concept planted in your mind saying, yeah, there's a sword that would actually help you in this situation. I've heard about this sword. It sounds pretty good. You could get it to the point where the sword was, now it's in your heart and you actually believe it. But now think about this. You're a soldier on the battlefield. Just having it in your heart is like having it in your sheath. You got it, but it's just sitting there. But God wants us to actually step out in faith, take the sword out of its sheath, and wield it. And that's what speaking the words by the inspiration, by the anointing of God. God wants to anoint every child of his with his spirit so that we can speak words that make a difference. Now, we're talking so far about our personal lives, and that's a pretty big deal. I need help. I need the sword of the Spirit. I've got to have something that's going to help me more than just me trying to be a Christian. That doesn't work at all. But God has given us everything that we need to take what happened at the cross and put it into action. And he is going to be with me in that process. To him be the glory. Praise God. All right, there's so much more, obviously, that you could say about any of this. But the putting his words in my mouth goes beyond just me facing the devil and saying the right thing, and there actually being power that the devil has to recognize. That's part of it. But there's so much more that God wants to do in and through his children. And so Paul goes on in this passage, and what does he say next? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So now you've got prayer entering into it. So now I'm not just talking to the devil. I'm talking to God. But is prayer something that where we just learn words to say, we just tell him what we think and what we want, and does it all originate in us in some fashion? You see, the kind of prayer that God is looking for, he actually inspires. How many of you realize that when we go to prayer, we need to be saying, Lord, I can't do this. I don't want to just go through a form and say words. And I don't want the words just to be a matter of self-will. This is what I want, and I'm expecting you to come across. I want to be an instrument in your hands to accomplish something that is part of your purpose. You see what's going on here? God has purposes. God has people. You know, it was mentioned this morning about praying for Shelley. Well, praise God. God can bring people to our minds. God can bring needs to our attention. And instead of it just being, okay, I got a duty to say the right words, and this is what I'm supposed to say, and here's how I'm supposed to do it. God, deliver us from religion. In every form, and cause us to realize that true prayer is a spiritual activity where we need divine anointing if anything is going to happen. It's got to come from him. You know, I've used the illustration, I guess, in a message many years ago about God's fireman. In that case, it was, you know, a hose that's directed at a fire. You got to have the hose. You got to point it the right direction, but it's got to be connected to something if anything's going to come out and do any good. God wants us to walk with him in such a way that we recognize, I need to be expressing prayer. I need to be showing concern for others. My focus is not on me. Prayer here is not just, oh, God, bless me, help me, I'm such a poor. No, there's a time to pray for our needs, yes. But I'll tell you, the prayer that God's talking about here is for others. This is when I become a channel of God's purpose. Just like Jesus was a channel to create the world and the stars, by the way, minor detail, and he created the stars also. Wow. Do we have an awesome God, an awesome Lord? Praise God. But you see, some of that power he wants to wield through you, every one of us. We talk about preachers needing to be anointed. You need to be anointed. You need God's Spirit to rest upon you in such a way that he can quicken your mind and impart words to you that come out of your mouth that make a difference in the world. We can pray and God can do something in India. He's not limited. And we can just mouth a whole lot of words and they sound good, but God wants to bring us into more and more harmony with his purpose. And I believe as we ask him, as we look to him, just start where we're at, God can absolutely bring us to that place. You know, Paul said in Romans 8, we don't know what we ought to pray for. Right? We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us with words that cannot even be uttered. I'll tell you, there's an anointing that can infuse our spirit with divine power. Because it's not just us. There's a union between our spirit and God's spirit. And I'll tell you, life goes forth. The same power that created the universe is actually operating in us. Okay? Praise God. God's given you and me an incredible privilege of being able to help and minister to other people, to other situations, and not just do it as, well, that's my duty. I'm supposed to do that. And not do it selfishly. This is about me and my wants and my wishes. This is about, Lord, what is your will? What is your heart? Bring me into harmony with that. Bring me more and more into harmony with what you want. And then help me to express it in a way. Help me to declare your word and your purpose. God, help me. Just fill me with your spirit and enable me to speak the words that you give me. The ones you talked about in your word. That's your purpose for me as one of your sons or daughters and case of our daughters. Praise God. I'll tell you, we have an awesome God. And so we talked about you and I being able to stand up to the devil and deal with personal needs. We've talked about our being a channel in prayer, and I'll tell you, that's incredibly important. But now there's another part of this, because we are not just called to stand and to pray, we are called to be ministers. We think of a minister as somebody who stands up here and talks about the Bible. There's so much more than that. Every member of the body of Christ is a minister. God wants to take your lips and put His words in them that can have the power to go out and make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what this is about. You know, if you talk about ministry like this, if this is God, if God is in this at all, then it's not just me. It's His words that have power to go out and make a difference. But it's not just somebody standing up in public and talking like that. You and I interact with one another all the time. Words have power. The power of the tongue, my God. Death and life, or life and death, are in the power of the tongue. And God wants to infuse every believer's life, tongue, with words that can make a difference in some fashion. And whether it's just a matter of talking to somebody in private, whether it's in a group or whatever form that takes, where does the inspiration need to come from? It needs to come from Him. You need to be anointed just as much as I do. God wants to take your life and your tongue and make it a wellspring of life that's going to go out and make a difference in somebody else's life. We have no idea how important this is. This is God's pattern. It's not just His Son that He wanted to include in His plans and the outworking of His plans. It's you and me, every single one of us. Thank God. So listen to what Paul goes on to say. After this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. I guess I could have included that before, couldn't I? But be alert, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Now listen to what he says. That whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel and so forth. Ah, do you see the connection the Lord's beginning to make? Words may be given. Here's Paul, well into his ministry, mightily used of God, full of the Spirit, the author of much of the New Testament. And he recognizes, I'm going to have opportunity to speak to people. If there was anybody ever, other than the Lord Himself, who had it within Him just to dig into the stuff He knew and explain it, that was the guy. But he doesn't say that. He says, pray that words may be given me. Paul recognized that if all I'm doing is expounding scriptural truth, I can do that in human energy. I wonder how many places this morning you've got preachers. They've gone to school. They've learned what the Bible teaches, at least in some fashion, often infused with tradition. But regardless, let's suppose that everything they come up with in their sermon is true. And they get up there and they expound it perfectly. Does that do any good if God's Spirit is not in it? If it's just them expounding it, that's the difference with what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 3 as the ministry of the letter and the ministry of the Spirit. But that's true for every single one of us. God wants to bring us to a place where what comes out of our mouths is more and more when it comes to interacting with one another is inspired by God's Spirit. God will learn. God, He knows. God, we're the ones that need to learn. God will give us the words that we need if we really want them. If we want to serve God and give Him what and be used of Him to accomplish the purposes of His kingdom, He will give us the words that we need to say. And we will be able to speak that word in season to him that is weary. Remember the words of the prophet. Every single one of you is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say this. You got people that take this thing. You got extremes in every case. But one extreme, of course, is let's get our doctrine right and just preach the doctrines and preach the words make sure our heads agree that this is what God says. Well, that can be totally dead. That's worthless without the Spirit of God. But then you got others that say, oh boy, we're going to latch on to this. God wants to put his words in my mouth. I'm going to be a prophet or an apostle. And someone's going to teach me how to do that. It's a technique or something. I'll tell you, God, the biggest obstacle to any of this is a big thing called self. Boy, do I need to be delivered from me. But you need to be delivered from you. Amen. And there's so many ways that self can jump into this process and try to be something and try to focus on, I need to have God's words. Think of all the glorious things I can do. And how often is it really there's an element of pride infused in that? That's why Paul warns about selfish ambition, he calls it. I want to take the truth of this, but I want it to be right in the middle. Jesus didn't say, oh boy, look at the power God gave me. I'm going to go out and do stuff. He said, I don't do anything except what the Father has shown me. This is the Son of God. And he lived and worked as a man and just did what his Father told him to do, and that was it. If the Father didn't tell him something, he didn't try to do it. He didn't look at a need and say, oh, I got to fix that. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to go over here. Think of all the good things I can do. God was with him and in him for a specific purpose, for a specific season, and he just did what the Father showed him. I'll tell you, you talk about flesh not being helpful. We've often quoted the words where Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life and so forth. You remember what goes before that? He said, the flesh profits nothing. If I'm just speaking words, that's worthless in terms of eternal values. Absolutely worthless. But Jesus said, that's not what I'm doing. I just didn't make this up. I'm not trying to get it out of a book. I'm not trying to promote my own ministry or anything. I don't have any motive here in this. No dog in this hunt. I am here for one purpose and one purpose only. God sent me. He told me. He's telling me what to do, and I'm doing it. And his anointing is with me to do it, and it's accomplishing something. And that sounds like a pretty good idea, isn't it? Pretty good pattern for every single one of us. May God help me. God help all of us to have that kind of an understanding and a heart that wants that. I have no desire to try to be something or do something. What a ridiculous idea. Who am I to try to be something? If you think that way, you don't see yourself as you really are. Folks, we are helpless, hopeless sinners apart from the grace of God. But he takes people out of the garbage heap of life and makes them his sons and daughters and gives them authority in his kingdom. But oh, how we need to be operating 100% under his hand and his power and his grace. Thank God. I'll tell you, that's the be-all and the end-all, isn't it? Think of a scripture in the end of John 12. The Lord is talking to some of the people shortly before he was crucified. And they're not listening very well. He's warning them, you better listen while you got an opportunity. But anyway, in verse 47, I'll go ahead and take it from that point forward. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge, for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words, the very words I have spoken will condemn him at the last day. So that's a great warning to that generation. Now listen to this. This is the reason he's saying what he did. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Wow. You talk about spiritual maturity. It's not a matter of tapping into divine power and being able to go out and do great things for the kingdom of God and be somebody, heal the sick and do all of that. I'll tell you, God can do all kinds of things, but he's not going to do it through people that where self gets infused in all of this. And there's another way that self can be all too easily infused. And wherever self gets in, it's pride. But one of the other ways is a very introspective attitude about all of this. Oh God, how do I do it? Am I doing it right? What about, you know, this constant anxiety that focuses on all the attention on how am I doing, Lord? How many of you think about breathing? Now, there are times when we're conscious of it, but breathing just happens. It's part of being alive. I believe with all my heart that what he's talking about in all of this is meant to bring us to a place where it is as natural as breathing. And we stop thinking about the process and how to do it, and we just look to God and say, God, I can't do this, but I'm trusting in you, and you overshadow me and help me to have all of my focus on what it is you want me to do, the need out here. I'm focused on them. I'm not focused on how it happens and did I do it right. God help me. God help all of us to get rid of all of that self that gets in the way. I'm sure there are other ways that people could think of that self gets in the way, but I am so glad that God is merciful to us, that he has such an incredible heritage, an incredible plan that he has. You know, I remember preaching a message one time on participating in God's purpose. Well, this is pretty central to it. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to bring every one of us to the point where our tongues become absolute instruments in God's hands. When he wants to. We're not trying to do it. We're not trying to make it happen. We're just saying, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to trust you. You put whatever you want in front of me, and I recognize that I can't do anything except you help me and you give me grace. But I'm willing to focus on what matters to you. And what matters to you is somebody else you're concerned about that I could help. And yet not I, but Christ in me. And make that my entire focus and say, Lord, overshadow my heart. Give me words to say when there's a need for that. When words have the power to change somebody's heart and minister faith. Are we not called in many places in the New Testament to be an encouragement, to exhort one another, to lift one another up, to use our tongues not maliciously, but to help and to lift up? Over and over you see that in the Word. That makes every one of us a minister. Now, if the Lord has a gift that causes you to speak to more than one or to a group or to the church, that's fine, but that's only if the Lord does it. And I'll tell you, that's another reason about all these gifts that people talk about out here. We need some judgment, some discernment about those things. That's where the safety comes from being a part of the body, because if I get up here and it's just me, you have every right to say that's just you and you need to sit down. Because I have no business trying to be up here promoting my ideas and my religion. I don't have anything. I just have him. To him be the glory. Praise God. But we all have him if we're willing to just humble ourselves under his mighty hand, not worry about who we are and what we do and how we do it and how successful we are or aren't and all of those self-focused things. Just say, Lord, help me to lay down my life to be exactly who you made me, not to try to be more or less or let anything get in the way of just seeking you and doing what you say and trusting you to make it happen and do something eternal. I'll tell you, the more we learn this, the more we're going to grow, the more we're going to be what he wants us to be. Praise God, I'll tell you. Is this something the Lord wants, or is this just something we come up with that we're trying to persuade God to do? This is his revealed truth. I have put my words in your mouth. This is what he wants. Can't we go to him and say, Lord, you've revealed this is what you want. I realize that I'm the guy that's in the way. I'm the person that's in the way. Help me. Oftentimes, my mind, when I'm thinking about a need that I'm going through right now and faith, trying to stand up to the devil and quote the word, I remember the scripture that follows that awesome description in Philippians 2 about what the Lord did for us. And it goes right into the part about, praise God, I'll have to look it up. Praise the Lord. Philippians, there we go. Philippians 2. Don't get old. All right. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out. Now that's continue is a lifestyle, isn't it? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that's our part. God has put something in here. You can't work it out if it isn't in. But I'll tell you, if you've given your heart to Him and He's come to live on the inside and be resident Savior and Lord, there's something in here that needs to come out. All right? So how does that happen? And this is what I often remind the Lord of, how much I need Him. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. How many times do I remind, Lord, you promised to work in me. Don't let me get away with this or with that or the other. You know, I've mentioned many times, I guess, over the years, the experience that Watchman Nee had. He was the great Chinese leader in the church when the communists took over. But he was greatly influenced by a lady missionary, very godly lady. And he had occasion one time to overhear her praying. And it was obvious she was struggling in some area of her life. There was a battle that she was fighting. And she recognized, I need help. And there was a strong part of her that wanted its way. But she prayed in his hearing, Lord, don't give in to me. There isn't a person here who doesn't need to pray that at times. In fact, all the time. Don't ever give in to me. Lord, I'm trusting you to overcome, to give me what I need and to carry me through this and to give me the strength. Don't you quit working on me. This is your promise, and I'm counting on it, Lord. I'm counting on you to do your part. Help me to do my part. Help me to learn to yield my vessel, my tongue, my everything to you, and just trust you to accomplish the purpose that you set in motion. This is how you do stuff. You speak. But when you speak, it's not just out of the blue somewhere. It's through lips. It was through the lips of your son. It was through the lips of your prophets, through the lips of your apostles. It's through the lips of every member of the body of Christ. Whether it's standing up to the devil and declaring what is true because God has planted a conviction in here and we're willing to speak it out, stand on it, or whether it's ministering in prayer and actually having stuff happen because there's power involved, not just words we're throwing out there into the ether, or whether it's actually allowing words to come out of our lips that's going to help somebody and encourage them, minister to them in some fashion. God has planted His words in our lips. May we learn how to operate in harmony with Him and believe Him. And I tell you, every one of us needs to be able to say, God, I don't know how to do this. You're going to have to teach me. But I think the Lord kind of knows where we're at, doesn't He? You think He's upset? Or do you think He says, I'm just looking for people who want me. I know how to take them forward. I just want somebody who will reach out to me and say, Lord, I need you and I want you to teach me. He is more than willing to take us step by step to the point where we can learn how to walk in the simple truth that He's put here. He wants His words in your mouth and mine. And He can accomplish amazing things if that happens. To Him alone be the glory. Praise God.